Good morning. It's great to be with you this morning. We appreciate your presence. We appreciate your interest in spiritual things as always, and the support that you give us here. And our goal is to be able to present material to you that will get you thinking about your spiritual life, encourage you to make us stronger. And if there's anything that needs to be changed in our lives, then we need to think about those things and think about making the changes that we need to be pleasing to God. So, you know, as I contemplate all of the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ as Christians, you know, I can't think of any greater blessing than our hope of heaven after this life is over. You know, we live in a world, I think, that's running from death. We live in a world where people are afraid of dying. They're afraid of death. And maybe the reason they're afraid of dying is because of a lack of knowledge. Or maybe it's a lack of understanding or about what comes after death. But you see, the Christian, we don't have to live with the dread of death, do we? Because you and I have been blessed with a wonderful hope. And Peter talks about that in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, where he talks about our living hope. The Apostle Paul also, he talks about that in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 5, where he talks about the hope that is laid up in heaven, our hope that is laid up in heaven. But maybe the best rendering of that thought is Jesus himself to his 12 disciples the night before he was crucified, where he said in John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." You know, to realize the great hope that we have of dwelling with God someday in heaven, it's just one of the greatest causes for joy and contentment and peace for the Christian. Unfortunately, folks, I fear that sometimes we kind of forget about heaven. Now, I'm not saying that we forget about it in the sense that we don't know about it or that we forget that it exists. But we forget about it in the sense that we just get caught up in doing other things, that it just doesn't occupy our mind like it should. How many of us can honestly say that we've thought about heaven in the recent past, say, in the last week? You know, we get overwhelmed with the cares and the responsibilities of this life and the busyness of our day-to-day living. And when we get down and we get in that rut and we get consumed with that, what's happening today, we lose sight of the big picture, don't we? And where all of this is heading, we do realize, right, that all of eternity is heading in one direction, isn't it? It's all of life is pointing to one place. It's heading somewhere. But what happens to us is we just get so caught up in the day-to-day living and doing the mundane things of this life that we lose sight of the big picture. Sometimes we just don't give much thought to heaven and about our reward that's waiting for us. You know, the Apostle Paul, he gives an exhortation in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Listen to what he says here. He says, "Set your mind on what? Things above and not on things on the earth." You know, when he says set your mind, you know, that means that we need to be intent on, that we need to keep our mind on or keep thinking about or keep in the forefront of our mind the things that are above and not so much the things that are on this earth. And certainly setting our minds on things above would include thinking about the heavenly hope that we have in Jesus. That it needs to be something that continues to be in our thoughts. And you know what that does for us? Well, for Christians, that encourages us, right? That helps us. That keeps us from getting discouraged, doesn't it? I think when we keep our mind focused on heaven, that gives us some real peace and joy as we live our life here on this earth. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. I think it helps us when we become overwhelmed by material things. Now, some would call that materialism. I don't particularly care for that term. That term is not found in the Bible, to my knowledge, but the concept is. And it's simply that we think too much about the material things. We think too much about how much money we have or what kind of car we drive or what kind of a house we live in. You know, it's a lot easier not to be concerned with how nice a car I have or how big my house is when I realize that the Bible tells me, hey, I've got a mansion waiting for me in heaven. Now, I'm not saying that we have a greater material gain in heaven. That's not the point. But I can deal better with the material things in this life. When I understand what Peter says in 1 Peter, that we're just strangers and pilgrims, and we're heading off to another place where our true citizenship is. And I'll just be honest with you. I just find it a lot easier to deal with the things in this life, the things that frustrate me, when I can look them in the eye and I can say that I am so thankful there won't be bad drivers in heaven. Now, many of you know that I struggle with being patient with other drivers. But I can face things, the things in this life that frustrate me and get me down. And I can deal with it because I realize that I'm not going to have to deal with that kind of stuff when I get to heaven. And I'll tell you what, that just gives me all kinds of encouragement in dealing with the things that we have to face on a day-to-day basis in this life. The point that I'm trying to make with you this morning is our heavenly hope is a wonderful blessing from God. And we need to keep that in the forefront of our minds. We need to set our minds on those kinds of things. But you know what? I think there's a reason that we fail to do that. There's a reason that we don't take advantage of the wonderful blessings, why we don't think about it, why we don't appreciate it, maybe as much as we should sometimes. And I think that the reason that we fail to do that is because as Christians, we don't have a very clear picture of what heaven is going to be like. For example, if someone were to ask you this morning, why do you want to go to heaven? What would your answer to that question be? Why do you want to go to heaven? You know what the typical answer to that question is? Well, because I don't want to go to hell. Well, I mean, I guess that's a pretty good reason. But is that the only reason we can think of for wanting to go to heaven? Because we're just not that fond of the alternative? I'll be honest with you, brethren. Some Christians just don't have a very realistic picture of heaven, if any picture at all. You know, there's a story that's told about a man that was a wayward Christian, and some of the folks from his congregation went to visit him to try and encourage him. And in talking to him, things weren't really going very well. Finally, someone, in a moment of frustration, said, well, don't you want to go to heaven? And that guy looked at that man and said, not really. He said, I've just never been all that excited about sitting on a cloud and playing a harp. Well, what was that guy's problem? His problem was he had an unrealistic picture of heaven, didn't he? And see, I'm convinced that it's difficult to set your mind on or to dwell on or to think about something that we really don't have a good understanding of when we have no real concrete images of what it's really going to be like. How can we contemplate that and look forward to it with joy? The tragedy about that is that the Bible reveals for us or to us some awfully wonderful images of heaven. The Bible tells us some wonderful things about what heaven is going to be like. Now, I need to put a disclaimer on that. There are a whole lot of things about heaven that I don't know. There are a whole lot of things about heaven that we're not told. But on the other side of that, there are many things that we are told about heaven that can really help us set our minds on the things that are above. So I want to spend a little time with you this morning talking about five reasons why I'm looking forward to going to heaven. Five reasons. 5 biblical concrete images of heaven that are found in the scriptures that I think will help us long more for it and set our affections more on our heavenly hope. So this morning it's going to be a simple lesson, 5 reasons why I'm looking forward to heaven. So to begin with, I'm looking forward to heaven because the Bible tells me that it's a place that is free from evil and wickedness. You know, to be honest with you, sometimes I get discouraged with all the evil and wickedness that I'm around and I'm faced with in this life and have to live around every day. Let me ask you something. Do you spend much time reading or listening to or watching the news? I hope not. See, I've had to disconnect from the news here recently because it's discouraging. I don't even know what the top story is. I could guess. I would imagine something about the election, some about COVID-19, probably something about opioids or overdoses or meth, probably something about someone getting killed or arrested or maybe even human trafficking. Whatever it is, they just go through the carnage step by step and spend most of their time talking about this negative garbage, these people dying and all the evil and the wickedness. You know what? I just get tired of that. And it's not just that I'm coming down on the news. I could preach a whole sermon about how the news is reported. I get tired of the fact that that's the way it is. That's how our society is. I get tired of hearing about young children that are sexually abused and killed. And you know, you hear things like that, it just makes you so angry, doesn't it? But what can you do about it? But that, it's not just a big thing. I get tired of going into the grocery store and hearing parents cussing at their kids. You know, I don't like that either. Don't you get weary? Sometimes don't you get discouraged? Sometimes with all the wickedness and evil that's just all around us all the time. But you know something? Just about the time I start to let it drag me down, I think about how wonderful it will be to one day dwell eternally in a place where that stuff doesn't exist. In Matthew chapter 25 and 31, Jesus talks about the great judgment scene here. And the point that we want to see here is that Matthew 25 is what Jesus says about the great judgment scene. He says that there's going to be a separation on that day. There's going to be a separation between the righteous and the wicked. And we're told in verse 46 that the wicked will go their way into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. The righteous will not share the same eternal destiny with the wicked. They will be divided on the day of judgment day, or on the day of judgment, and they will share two separate eternal destinations. You know, John talks about that in Revelation 21, where he talks about looking forward to his eternal destiny, talking about heaven. He says, "And nothing unclean and no one who practices abominations and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose name are written in the Lamb's book of life." And then in Revelation 22 and verse 14, beginning, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city." 15, "Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying." Notice that John tells us who is within and who is without. The righteous will not share the eternal destiny with the wicked. There will be a separation of the two. Now, folks, I don't want anyone to be lost. I share God's desire that everyone come to a knowledge of the truth, that everyone be saved, that everyone come to repentance. But frankly, I rejoice in the fact that there isn't going to be evil and wickedness in heaven. Can you appreciate that? Can we even begin to imagine what it's going to be like dwelling in a place for eternity that is free from wickedness and free from evil? I know it's a challenge. It's hard to imagine a place like that, isn't it? But I tell you something, I'm anxious to find out, aren't you? I won't mind experiencing a place that's free from evil and wickedness. I'm actually looking forward to it. So number one, I want to go to heaven because it's a place that is free from evil and wickedness. Secondly, I want to go to heaven because the Bible tells me that it is a place of rest. You know, over and over again, the scriptures use that kind of language to describe heaven. For example, Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. John writes, I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, Paul spoke of rest for those who suffer affliction in this life. And the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 9 says, so there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. You see, I want to go to heaven because it's described as a place of rest. And I can relate to that, can't you? Of course you can. The Bible describes heaven in terms that we all can understand, right? But you know that there's something implied in that statement when heaven is described as a place of rest. And it's mentioned in John chapter 14, verse 13, which we just read. He says that they're going to be given what? Rest. From what? Their labors. Rest from their labors. See, isn't that what we do in this life? Don't we labor? Don't we work in this life? You see, that's what we ought to be doing as Christians. Laboring for the Lord. Laboring for lost souls. Working against the devil. Fighting the good fight of faith. And the good news then is when this is all over. And when the Lord returns, he's going to give us rest, right? Going to give us rest from our labors. And so I'm convinced that's why as Christians, we just need to be wearing ourselves out, working for the Lord, using ourselves up, being diligent in his service. Why? Because when this life is over, we're going to go home to a place of rest. You know, I think there was great wisdom in describing heaven as a place of rest from our labors. I think there's wisdom in that because that's something that all of us can relate to, right? Don't we understand that in physical terms? We understand what it's like coming home after a hard day, right? Tired, exhausted. What do? We flop on the bed or we flop on the couch, and man, that feels great, doesn't it? Is there anything better than coming home and we're just totally exhausted and we're just falling down and your head hits the pillow? What do you think to yourself? Ah, heaven. And you're right. It's a taste of heaven. It's rest from our labors. We understand that in physical terms. You know, I didn't come up with that imagery. The Holy Spirit did. Heaven is a place of rest from our labors. He puts it in terms of something that we can all understand. And I want to go there because I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the rest from my labors for the Lord. Thirdly, I'm looking forward to heaven because the Bible tells me that heaven is a place where we will truly find happiness. That we will truly be happy. Isn't that what we all want in this life? You ever heard people say things like, well, God just wants me to be happy. Well, that's true. But he first wants us to be obedient. But heaven is a place where we'll find true happiness. I think one of the things that's just obvious in scriptures when it describes heaven is that heaven is a place where we're going to be happy. Look, notice Revelation chapter 7, beginning verse 16. They will hunger no longer, nor thirst any more, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And then flip over to chapter 21 and verse 4. It says, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. Notice the specifics that John uses here. He says a place where there will be no tears, a place where there will be no mourning, no crying, no pain, a place, he says, where there is no death, a place where there is no hunger. But Jesus guides us to springs of the water of life. Now, can you imagine a place like that? You know, I don't know life with things like death being absent. We live with death every day, don't we? And death frequently brings a great deal of sorrow to us, especially when people that we love and care about die. We don't know life without hunger and without thirst. You know, there's people all over this world, millions of people that starve to death. We don't know life without pain, or without crying, or without mourning, you know, and sometimes it wears at us, doesn't it? It wears us down. I'm tired of hearing about death. You know what I'm tired of? I'm tired of hearing about cancer, to be honest with you. When I hear on my radio when I'm driving, one of these ambulance chasing attorneys come on and say, well, if you got cancer from this product, I turn it. I'm tired of hearing about cancer. I'm tired of hearing about death. We are bombarded with sorrow and death every day of our lives. But I tell you something. I'm looking to experience what it will be like to live in a place that is free from that stuff, from that garbage. I sure do want to try, don't you? I sure do want to find out what it's like to be in a place that's free from pain and suffering and death. I look forward to being in heaven because it's a place where I can truly be happy, experience happiness like we've never experienced before. Number four, I look forward to going to heaven because of who's going to be there. You know, one of the greatest things that brings me joy, brings joy to my life, is being around other Christians, being around people that love God like I love God. I love worshiping with other Christians who desire to serve God and to please God. I love being with other Christians and sharing with them in periods of worship. I love being with other Christians when we get together, not just at the church building on Sundays and Wednesday, but I love getting together with Christians outside these four walls. We did that last Saturday night, some of us. And I think about all the people all over this country that I've had the opportunity to be with, folks that I love and care about in places like Illinois and Florida and Texas and Wisconsin and Indiana and Ohio. People that love the Lord too, people that are serving the Lord. You know what the dreadful thing is? We don't get together as much as I'd like. And when we do get together, we have to do something that I don't like, and that is we have to say goodbye, don't we? And I can't say for certain, I don't know what the future is going to bring for me and my family, but I'm dreading a day where it's possible in the distant future I may have to say goodbye to all of you. And we may go somewhere else and find other Christians that love the Lord like you love the Lord and work with them. And who knows, maybe after that we'll go somewhere else and do the same thing. You know what the great thing about heaven is? It's not going to be like that. Yeah, we're going to get together with people that love the Lord like we do, but the good news is we'll be together. We won't have to be divided. We won't have any departures from each other. We'll just be together worshiping God throughout eternity. No parting, no divide, no saying goodbye. And that's beside the fact that we'll be sharing heaven with the great men and women of faith in the Bible. I got a question for you. Are you looking forward to meeting the Apostle Paul one day? Boy, I am. Or some of the impressive people that we've gotten to know when we've read the scriptures and studied about their lives. You know, while I contemplate and appreciate the thought of being with the great men and women of faith, or being with God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, one of the things that I really appreciate is the fact that I'll be in heaven with all of you someday. But you know, I got a problem. I need to just say this right here. And you already know what it is, because sometimes I'm too hard, I think, or I come down pretty hard. In my sermons, I'm pretty blunt sometimes, or I'm pretty passionate about what I believe, or sometimes I'm kind of hard on people that are drifting. But I'll tell you something, I do it because I don't want any of us to miss heaven. This is serious stuff, folks. I don't want to get there and you not be there. And guess what? I don't want you to get there and me not be there. I want us all to be there together. I look forward to that. Because one day in this life, what are we all going to have to do? We're all going to have to say goodbye. So my message is to remain faithful so that we can all be together in eternity. I look forward to being with all of you in eternity and with all the great people of the Bible. That's one of the blessings of heaven. Number five, I want to suggest to you this morning that I'm looking forward to heaven because heaven is going to be eternal. You know, the scriptures promise that over and over again. Look at Matthew 25 and verse 46. We just read that, but it talks about eternal life. Revelation 22 and 5 speaks of reigning forever and ever. Now, can you fathom that? Can you wrap your mind around eternity? You know, we live in a world full of temporal things, don't we? There's nothing eternal in this life. We don't have eternal things in this life. Beauty fades, right? You just got to take the good times with the bad times, right? We start out young, but then what happens? We get old. Things wear out. They lose their luster. We live in a world of temporal things. But the Bible tells us about a place that is eternal. I think eternity is better described as quality of life and not just quantity of life. You know, there's a famous song, probably the most famous spiritual hymn that's ever been written, Amazing Grace. And it gives us a foretaste of eternity. The last line in the song Amazing Grace says this: when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. You know, when we've been in heaven for 10,000 years, you don't have any less time to be there. It's just eternal. It never ends. Again, that's a hard concept to grasp. But guess what? I'm looking forward to it. How about you? And then finally, yes, I'm looking forward to going to heaven because I don't want to go to hell. You know, the Bible presents only two realities in eternity. Two eternal destinies. We're either going to be in eternity with God and with the faithful throughout all the ages in heaven, or we're going to be in eternity in hell. And yes, that fact does motivate me to a certain degree, and that desire, it motivates my desire to long for heaven. But I'll tell you this, I don't need hell as a sole motivator to want to go to heaven. The Bible gives me plenty of clear, wonderful pictures of what heaven will be like that makes me not want to miss it. How about you? And if I can leave you with anything this morning, brethren, it is this: there is nothing in this life, listen to me, nothing that is worth missing heaven over. We all know the story about the rich young ruler. I don't know if he ever repented or not, but if he didn't, I'm sure that in the day of judgment, when the rich young ruler hears his condemnation, his material blessings won't seem, or his material possessions won't seem nearly as valuable as they did the day that he turned his back on the Lord and walked away sorrowful. It's just not worth it. But the good news is that this morning, God has opened a door of opportunity for anyone who is not right with him to get right with him today. And you can thank the long-suffering of God that even until this morning, even until this very hour, he has delayed his coming that some that are not saved might be saved. It's just too good of an opportunity to pass up, folks. The alternative is too dreadful a life of sin and rebellion against God. Listen, if we miss heaven, that's it. There's no going back. Game over. We don't get a do-over. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is it. This is our life right here and now. And if we miss heaven, we miss it all, folks. It's not worth missing. And if there's any desire in my heart, it is that all of you who are listening to me this morning will be in heaven someday. But I can't judge your heart. Now you know your heart, and God knows your heart, just you two. You're the only ones that know, but let me ask you a question. Are you right with God this morning? Be honest. Be honest. Whatever it is, friend, is keeping you from a right relationship with God, get rid of it. It's not worth spending eternity in hell. If you're not right with God this morning, please get right with him today so that when the Lord comes back and we can be among the great host that will spend eternity in heaven with him. Don't you want that? Please don't miss it. If we can help you in any way, we want to do that. That's one of the reasons why we do this video. So please message us. Let us know how we can help you. It doesn't hurt to talk about it. And let us know how we can contact you. And we'll get a hold of you and we'll talk about it. And if there's any changes that you need to make in your life, please make them before it's too late. I hope really this sermon was meant to be an encouragement to all of us. I hope it has been for you. And so until we meet again, Lord willing, next Sunday at 9:30 a.m., have a great week. Stay safe and stay healthy.